Elissa Walker Campbell to deliver sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews, beyond the X's and O's. Think big. The Big E Sports Show.
The conversation continues this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. And right now, we are heading out to the golf course. We're going to spend some time with one of the best instructors in the business. He is the CEO of National Golf School. He's been on our program many, many times. Always an open invitation for him. Patrick Livingston is joining us from Florida. How are you, Patrick?
Couldn't be better. We're having a great season down here and ready to talk golf.
Well, before we delve into a variety of topics nationally, you know, this really is the time of year. A lot of folks are spending a lot of time on the golf course. They're getting golf instruction. And National Golf Schools has everything that you need, whether you're a beginner or a pro. Kind of get us up to date what's going on, because you and I had a chance to visit earlier in the week. And you guys are now on board in Philadelphia, Mississippi. Where is that at?
That's a very good question. It's 100 miles outside of Jackson. And it is a real diamond in the rough. It is two great golf courses, two exceptional golf courses, fine golf range, and you've got a few other things to do there. They have a casino that is huge and active, 1,000 rooms, so your lodging is phenomenal. And this is really kind of interesting. They have a 6,000 seat, stage, arena, whatever you want to call that, where they have top-notch entertainment coming in particular on Saturday and Sunday nights. So you can play during the day, work on your game, play these great golf courses, and if you choose to test your luck in a casino, you certainly can. But if you want to see some great name entertainment, you can also take that in. It's a wonderful location.
And, of course, is what the Pearl River Resort. It's kind of like being in Las Vegas, but with sweet tea, being in the South, huh?
It is like being in Las Vegas, but it is off the beaten path, I'll have to admit.
We are so glad that you're joining us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. Patrick Livingston is with us, the CEO of National Golf Schools. And as I said earlier in the open, he's been on our program many times. But I want, for all of our new listeners, and we have so many new affiliates that have joined us since the last time we had a chance to visit, kind of refresh our memory on what all National Golf Schools has to offer and how you go about making reservations.
Absolutely. We are the largest resort golf school in the world. We have over 100 locations in the U.S. We're at Pinehurst, we're at Hilton Head, we're at a lot of great golf destinations like that, as well as golf resorts all around the country. We're in Cape Cod, we have 4 locations there. It's a wonderful, unique place to learn your golf. We're out on the West Coast, we're in San Diego, and San Diego is a wonderful town, probably the best climate in the West. We have a great location at Barona, which is a Indian reservation with a wonderful golf course. Again, a lot of other activities going on. And I'll tell you what, we will pick you up at the airport in a limousine, transport you to the resort, to the golf course. When you're ready to head back home, we take you back to the airport, and you get to go back home and talk about what a great experience you had. And it's kind of interesting. We've had a lot of success this last year in our golf/casino location. Barona is one of our more popular ones. We're at the Twin Warriors in Albuquerque. Phenomenal golf course there. Again, it's on an Indian reservation. Great Hyatt hotel to stay at. We're at Las Vegas. We have 2 great Las Vegas locations. Red Rock is one. Again, all the amenities you need are right there. We're outside of Atlantic City. Galloway National. It's the 41st course, rated course in the country. You play this dynamic, great course, as well as staying in Atlantic City. We go to Wickapa, which is in outside of Phoenix. These are just wonderful locations for the golfer that wants a little extra, a little more entertainment, for their golf school.
Well, I certainly have spent a lot of time in the land of enchantment in New Mexico, so that would be a lot of fun to go out there. But what about in terms of your international golf schools? I mean, there is so many. You've got, Costa Rica? You've got Scotland, St. Andrews Bay Resort. What's that like?
Yeah, that is wonderful. St. Andrews Bay Resort in particular is just outside of St. Andrews. They have 2 wonderful golf courses there you play. And our international golf schools are set up a little bit different than our golf schools in the U.S.
How so?
We have 3 hours of practice in the morning, half short game, half full swing. lunch, and then go out for a nine-hole playing lesson that afternoon, and then the back nine, you play by yourself. In Scotland, what we do just an hour of instruction in the morning, play, you know, exceptional golf course, the old course there, Carnoustie. You play a lot of these great, great golf courses, and the pro plays the full 18 holes with you. So it's kind of a modified instructional school, but you get a PGA pro playing the full 18 holes at some of the, you know, most notable golf courses in the world.
We are so glad you're with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. You can listen to this entire interview at eradiosports.com. Patrick Livingston is with us, the CEO of National Golf Schools. He's been breaking it all down, the number one golf school nationally. And there's also a lot of national topics that have been going on. I think one of the things that we need to discuss, I wanted you to give us your opinion on the USGA bans practice of anchoring long putters. What is your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, that discussion has been going on for the last 3 or 4 years. And how that works is the USGA and the Royal and Ancient get together once every 4 years. And if they make a rule change, and it's pretty rare when they make a rule change.
Right.
If they make a rule change, it applies to every place in the world. And that's what happened in this case. Now, it doesn't become effective until January 1st, 2016. And that's for official play now. That's if you have a USGA-sponsored championship, those rules apply. But, you know, the Masters, for example, has not accepted that yet. The PGA Tour has not accepted that yet. So there's a lot of discussion on whether this will actually go into effect on the PGA Tour or even at the Masters. And it's pretty well split down the middle. I mean, a lot of PGA pros feel that you know, tradition should come forth here, and you shouldn't have anything anchoring to your body when you're putting the ball or actually swinging a club. There are others saying that, well, this has been around since 1934, and it's been good for the game. It helps the average golfer if he has really problems with his putting. Of course, now he could solve that problem by coming to one of our schools, but if he has you know, problems with his putting, the long putter may help him a little bit. And what's kind of interesting, too, if you go through the staff on the PGA Tour, now there's been some good things. You had Keegan Bradley with a long putter, win a tournament. You had
Adam Scott, right?
Yeah, Adam Scott.
Tim Clark.
And Clark. And those are all interesting. But if you go to the putting stats, the best putting stats out of any of those, and that's in strokes gained putting, with Webb Simpson at 54. So it isn't like they're dominating the putting stats, being 1, 2, and 3. And what's also interesting is they've differentiated between Keegan Bradley's long putter and a belly putter. You know, most people tend to lump those together. If you have a long putter that is not touching your body, that's legal. There's nothing wrong with that. It's only when you attach that putter to your body, anchor that putter to your body, does it become a violation of the rules of golf.
We're quickly running out of time. Patrick Livingston is joining us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. He is the CEO of National Golf Schools. We do want to pause and, of course, Patrick, direct all of the listeners where they can go and sign up for your National Golf Schools.
Absolutely. You can go to nationalgolfschools.com. Check out our offerings. We have over 100 there. You can call us at our 800 number, 877-580-1500. You will talk to a PGA pro when you make that call. So they'll be able to answer every question you have. You're not going to be talking to just a reservationist. You're talking to the people who actually be teaching out in these classes and really can answer any of your questions. We'd love to hear from you, and we have some wonderful locations, and love to tell you all about it.
My final question for you is, I know you spent a lot of time around Jim Furyk, and when it was 2012, he wanted to put that season behind him, but he's still struggling, as I understand, with his putting, with his short game. Kind of fill us in on what's going on with Jim.
Yeah, I talked to Jim recently, and he is still an excellent ball striker. He's not the longest hitter out there.
A long looping swing, right?
That's true. But he gets the ball in play. He gets his drive
in play.
He's a good, excellent short iron player, but his putting has dropped. He's, traditionally a top 10, top 15 putter on the tour. Now, he is back up to almost 100 in putting this last season, And that simply is where the strokes have gone and why he hasn't won, you know, like he has in the past. And as soon as he gets the putting, straightened out, I think he'll be just as productive as he is in the past.
Patrick, it's just too much of that five-hour energy, right? Perhaps that's what it is. Well, listen, we appreciate you so much stopping by. Of course, Patrick Livingston, the CEO of National Golf Schools. And one more time, Patrick, tell everyone where they can go.
Absolutely. It's at nationalgolfschools.com. And our 800 number is 877-580-1500. We have pros that answer that call and love to talk to you about your golf game.
Patrick, thank you so much for joining us. It was way too long. We'll have you back again real soon, I promise, okay?
My pleasure. Looking forward to seeing you.
You bet. We're going to step aside much more straight ahead here in just a moment. Support for programming comes from Pinnacle Bank, where serving customers beyond day-to-day transactions is the Texas way. Pinnacle Bank provides solutions based on local needs and personal relationships. And at Pinnacle Bank, we think that's the way banking should be. Visit us online at PINNBANKTX.com. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Elissa Walker Campbell to deliver sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews. Beyond the X's and O's. Think big. The Big E Sports Show.
And we want to welcome you back to the fastest hour in radio. I'm your host, Elissa Walker Campbell. You are listening to the Big E Sports Show. And we are so delighted to welcome in our next guest, Tom Pippins with Fox 6 out of Milwaukee. And there's so many storylines that I want to jump in and talk to him about. And first of all, Tom, I wanted to get your thoughts. One of the reasons I invited you on the program is to get your takeaways from the NBA Finals, Miami, San Antonio. How would you characterize this year's finals? Because it really was an epic series and a grand finale.
Well, Big E, first of all, it's an honor as always to be with you.
Thank you.
You're the best. I may be one of the few people, at least around these parts, who was pulling for the Miami Heat. I love San Antonio.
Really?
And Mr. Fundamental and Pop and all that. But, of course, we have Dwayne Wade here, Ray Allen when he was with the Bucks, a lot of connections. But I think that series came down to that Game 6. And uncustomarily, as you know, Big E, the Spurs just threw the ball away, literally and figuratively. They missed foul shots, and I think Pop, of course, will be forever questioned about why he was sitting down. Tim Duncan, he probably gets that rebound that Bosch gets that goes out to Allen for the game-tying three to send it to OT. And certainly Tony Parker, I'm not sure whether Tony just wasn't right physically, whether LeBron James made it so he wasn't right. But I just think it's sad that such a great franchise with an awesome coach had a chance and did something very uncustomary. They let it get away, and even though they battled hard in Game 7, though they were devastated, in the end you had to feel that it was all Miami after that Game 6.
It certainly was, Tom. Very tough to swallow. I mean, you're looking at San Antonio 28 seconds away from going a perfect 5-5 in the NBA Finals, and you just have to wonder if you're Coach Popovich, you have just got to have a heavy heart even today.
I think it'll take them a little while to rebound, so to speak.
Yeah.
They will, and I think they'll be back there again, but that was certainly an opportunity lost. And as you say, to go 5-5 in the finals, that's uncanny. And I know the big Tim Duncan wanted it, Parker wanted it, Pop wanted it, and they'll move on, and that's what the league and life are all about.
Okay, so Tom, you were talking about Dwayne Wade, Ray Allen, the connection there. You were one of the few guys, perhaps in the media, that were, you know, hoping that the Miami Heat would prevail. They were able to do that. Why is it that the Heat have not received a lot of, I guess, affinity and been embraced by so many of the fans outside their market?
I suspect it was the way that that whole thing with the big three came down.
Okay.
The big
okay.
play. Not one, not two, not three. And I love LeBron James. Big E, I think he gets every call in the book.
I love him.
The only guy I ever saw get a technical foul overturned as he did when they knocked the Bucks out as quickly as you could say.
Okay.
Oh, in the first round. But I really think that whole charade is something that LeBron regrets, and I think people took offense to that. And as always, when you've got a team that's stacked that way, it's easy to pull for the underdog and not those folks. But I think, by and large, they're all class guys. And And it wasn't that easy for them, but they've gotten two in a row, and now they'll have to try to build. I think they may have to retool a bit to be able to do so, because they do have some obvious weaknesses, particularly rebounding. But they've done pretty well, haven't they?
Yes, they have. You're listening to the voice of Tom Pippins, Fox 6 in Milwaukee. He's a regular guest on our program, and I think one of the things that I sincerely did appreciate about the Miami Heat, they seem like they have evolved. They're maturing. They're growing up. I liked the effort that I saw from them, the chemistry, and I have to tell you, one of the guys that I think did not get a whole lot of credit is their head coach, Eric Spoelstra. I thought that he has really evolved as a coach.
I couldn't agree more. I think he's really coming on. And sure, you've got the great talent. People always criticize the Phil Jacksons, even going way back a million years ago to Red Auerbach. But you have to manage egos. You have to put people in spots to be successful. Big E, you know that game as well as anybody else. And I think that Spoelstra did that well. I think he motivated them well. I think he handled the highs and the lows from a long winning streak, you know, to getting down in a couple of series to a couple of game sevens. He really grew up as a coach, and I think Pat Riley was spot on when he brought him in to succeed him.
Well, I want to hit on a number of coaches, and of course, the Milwaukee Bucks. They hire Larry Drew as their new head coach, the former Hawks head coach. What did you think about that, to see that movement, him heading up there?
Well, I think he has credibility. There's no question about that. Obviously, the jury is out, as it always is. And the NBA is just such a goofy world. I mean, here's the George Karl, a former Bucks coach, coach of the year in the NBA, 57 wins, whatever, and he's out, you know. And the Clippers, they do well, and out one goes, and in comes another in Doc Rivers. So I really think that Drew, though, is going to, and he did well with the Hawks. I think Drew is going to bring something a little different. And what he's going to do, Big E, he said he wants to be buddies with the players. A lot of people say, you can't be buddies with your, you know, you're a boss, you can't be buddies with your employees. But he said, I want to develop relationships with them. I want them to know that, hey, look, they're going to work hard. I want them to know where they stand. But I think I'll get more out of them that way. And I think it's important to get to know them off the court. This is something that was not a strong point of Scott Skiles or Jimmy Boylan. And I think that it will be intriguing to see if he can make it work. And obviously a lot of if he can make it work depends on how GM John Hammond retools this roster.
Were you surprised to see Coach Bolin move on?
Yeah, I kind of felt the writing was on the wall, especially they started out.
But with the Cavs have picked him up, though, correct?
Picked him up as the lead assistant. So now he's been a lead assistant for three teams in the Central Division, Big E. So he's making his way all the way around. But I think he's a great basketball man. I think he's a good person. But I think when you make that, you know, you're the lieutenant, now you're the head guy, they played for him, then it didn't work out so well. I think things kind of got out of control a little bit, and they needed the change. You know, it was best for everybody, including Jim, to move on, and I'm glad that he's regrouped there in Cleveland with Mike Brown and wish him nothing but the best, because he's class on and off the court. Has been since he helped Marquette to the national championship as a starting guard in 1977.
Oh, so many years ago. Well, speaking of change, what a big, big moment in Clipper history as they introduced Doc Rivers. And you're talking about, you know, Larry Drew wanting to be, you know, a player's coach, be, you know, buddies with these guys. I mean, I know Coach Rivers, he's got, you know, great relationships with his players, with probably perhaps, from what we've heard, the exception of Rajon Rondo. But how do you see him fitting into this organization and taking that team to the next level?
Well, first, and I think, and I was trying, it's Vinny Del Negro he's replacing, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm certain that's the case. And yeah, here's a guy who did real well with him, got him to the playoffs, and again, they're making changes. It's just a quick fix everyone seems to want rather than commitment. Having said that, Glenn Doc Rivers has been one of my favorite people since I was blessed to cover him as a player at Marquette University with all that athletic ability. A second rounder, went to the Hawks, had a fine NBA career. He was an all-star a couple of times. I think he's developed into one of the finest coaches in the NBA. He's one of the finest people you'll meet. His players have immense respect for him. I think Chris Paul is smiling big time now. But as Doc said, look, I don't think he wanted to be a part of that whole Boston rebuilding thing, and they parted, I think, mutually and in a friendly manner. Danny Ainge is going to go his way. They get some compensation. As Doc said, this situation is very attractive to me because of the people we have here and how well they did in the regular season. Now we got to figure out a way to take it to the postseason and go deep. And I think that Rivers is in it for no other reason than to get a championship. I know he's got himself a nice contract, $7 million a year for 3 years, but at this stage, how much money can you have? He wants to win. I think he probably does give the Clippers a better chance than anyone else, including Vinny, to take that next step, and that's what they have to do. Great move for them, and I'm happy for Doc.
Always a great guest. Tom Pippins has been with us from Fox 6 in Milwaukee. Tell all of the listeners where they can go and check out some of your work online.
Appreciate that, Big E, at fox6now.com. And as always, it's a blessing to be with you and the listeners. Very best to everyone.
Okay? Absolutely. Another quick question. Tell me about Buzz Williams, Coach Williams. We just really appreciate his product. Jay Crowder, I thought he had a terrific rookie year. Wonderful.
You know, it's starting to become a pattern, isn't it? Wesley Matthews.
Yes.
Marquette guys working real hard. This is why Vander Blue is encouraged that no matter what happens to him, mm-hmm. that he's going to hook on and he'll have an opportunity to play. Nobody works the players harder, but they love him, and he gets every ounce of their God-given ability out of them. I think he makes them mentally tough. He truly does get involved in their lives and has a father-figure-like relationship. And in Crowder, I think you've gotten yourself a very solid all-around player for the Dallas Mavs. As you point out, you know, the rookie learning curve can be very steep at times, particularly with all the games, as you pointed out, Big E, before we went on. And Jay's coming along, but I think he'll be a very solid player and a good pro for years to come. And that's the kind of get that you will receive if you play for a Buzz Williams. He took him to the Elite Eight. He's taken him to a couple of Sweet 16s in a row before that. He's been magnificent. This is Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Marquette University in the Big East, but I've always remembered him as an independent from the days of the Marquette Warriors. I think we're blessed to have him, and hopefully will as long as possible. He's an outstanding coach, one of the finest in the country.
I was going to say, Tom, you better hang on to him real tight, or you better get ready to produce another book, because you wrote a book on Marquette basketball a few years back. That's how our relationship started on air, right?
And I'm thankful it did, from McGuire to Crean and everything in between. And, of course, Tom now is doing great things in Indiana, so that was an awful lot of fun. A lot of history here with Warriors/Golden Eagles basketball. And down the road in Madison, Bo Ryan, also a Hall of Fame-type coach for years and years, Wisconsin, doing great things with the Badgers. We're very, very fortunate in this state to have a couple of top-flight programs.
Very good. Tom, it's always a pleasure to have you on. You have a great 4th of July weekend, too. You take care.
Do a Big E, and best to your family.
Thank you. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just a moment. Stay with us.